Okay, so before we get the meeting started, I want to just go over a few of the ground rules that we have for how we manage these calls, and then we will open up the floor. This is not a large meeting tonight, so everyone could have an opportunity to have the floor, and pretty much we can have an open discussion. Most of the people here have been here before, so I'll be brief with the introduction. So for all of those who are new on the call, my name is Brother Lou, and I want to thank you for coming to this week's Black Wallets Matter Town Hall meeting. If this is your first time calling in, like I said, I want to just go over these, how we manage these calls. They usually last about 2 hours, but if we have a really good one, we'll extend it. We don't have that many people on the call tonight, so this call may wind up being even shorter. And it will be our last call going into the holiday. So we have them on Thursdays, the next Thursday of the holiday, and there'll be some people who will not, be available. So this is, so let me just say in advance, we appreciate you guys coming to hang out with us. Normally, we have a lot of people on these calls, and we have a lot of different opinions and a lot of different things a lot of different ideas to how to solve the problems in our community. So, those types of conversations, sometimes they can be disorganized, but this is a platform for us to come together and discuss the solutions to our problems and organize in an intelligent manner. So if you notice when you called in, I addressed you as either brother or sister. And the reason we address one another as such is to show respect and as a sign of solidarity. During these calls, we do not discuss religion. We do not discuss the black male and female dynamic. And we do not discuss political party affiliation. We can discuss politics as it relates to black people in America, how we can use it to improve our situation. But we don't want to get into a discussion about which party did this and which party didn't do that, because we'll have the argument and we'll be going around in circles all night, and no one will be right and no one will be wrong. For all the guests on the call, let me just tell you a little bit about what this organization is. If you haven't watched the blueprint yet, Black Wallets Matter is a member association. We're comprised of a group of brothers and sisters that believe the only way we're going to fix the problems in the black community is if we do it ourselves and we start using the power of the black dollars that we already have. Last year, it's estimated we spent $1.3 trillion. So if we were to pool our resources and practice group economics, we could have a major financial impact and transform our community. So in essence, basically what that is saying is that we have the money to address our problems. This is a form of black capitalism. No matter how you may feel about the system, it is the only one that we have here in America, and any radical ideas about operating outside of the system will just be a waste of precious resources. So the best thing for us to do is to learn how the game works and then get really good at playing it. Now, normally I have like a whole list of things that I normally would like to address. And, explain to everyone what the organization is and step by step. But just recently, I've been thinking a lot. I've been talking with some other members, and we've really distilled what Black Wallets Matter is. So we are a group of men and women who really want to change what's going on in the black community. One of the biggest problems that we have is that we do not have any wealth. And with wealth comes the ability to offer protection to your kids. Influence politics. You get to leave businesses. You get to leave houses and things like that that make those children grow up to become more productive members of society. The vast majority of the problems that we face come from those who are in the lower income bracket in our community, and so through desperation and other things, they, do what they have to do to get by. What that does is it causes a blight on all of us. It even causes some of us to look at them and shake our heads like, what in the hell is going on? So what we have to do is we have to implement systems where the brothers and sisters that are in that are still at the lower rungs of the social economic strata, they need opportunities. There's a lot of them, you know, if you come from that environment, I come from that type of environment. If you come from that environment, you know that the opportunities are very limited. And so what we need to do is we need to set up employment opportunities, training opportunities, cultural redevelopment opportunities for our brothers and sisters. When they walk out of their front doors and they're saying, you know what, I don't have a job, where do I go? Or you know what, I'm like, you know, in the case of like some of our young brothers and sisters that wind up turning the crown, I'm bored, I don't have nothing to do, and so they have nothing else better to do but get in trouble. There needs to be an outlet for that young man and that young woman to go and be productive. And in that outlet, there also needs to be instruction and guidance and discipline. And we call these our community resource centers. These community resource centers, we want to put them in black neighborhoods that need them, right? We need them all over the country. I say major black cities, but every time I turn around, we'll have someone call and they're from, you know, someplace I forgot. Like St. Louis is a major city. I forgot about St. Louis. And, you know, people will call from Richmond, Virginia. I forgot about Richmond, Virginia. But, yeah, we need them where there's a problem. And it's going to take billions and billions of dollars to address these problems. It can be done because the Jewish community does that. Now, granted, maybe their people don't have, a proclivity to turn towards, you know, violent crime or whatever it is, but they have these systems in place to enforce their culture. And what we need to do is we need to redefine our culture, and then we need to have those systems in place. And we are a larger population than the Jewish community. And we are the largest consumers in the American economy, despite only being 12, 13, 14% of the population. So we have the money. The problem is we don't spend the money in the places that we need to. The system that we devise in the blueprint is a system that talks about building businesses to sustain these massive expenditures. That is the only way that I know of where we're going to be able to get a sustainable source of funding, that one that we control, and then that we can dedicate towards constantly funding these community resources. The other thing that we need political influence, and we need legal protections. We need advocates. That's the reason the cops go upside of our head. And they fear no repercussions because, one, they know all we're going to do is march and protest. They got hit to that, years ago. They start, they have insurance for all of that. They don't care we march and protest. And what they've been doing lately is actually they've been suing the protesters for interrupting the commerce, if there's business that has been stopped. What we need are people who are in the political system representing our interests. We need watchdogs like the Jewish community. You can even say something positive about them, and they will have their advocates jump down your throat. That's what we need. We need, and it costs money to do all of these things. So I don't want to kind of like sugarcoat the whole thing of what's needed because, I mean, we're all adults. There is nothing. The way that America is engineered is that it takes money. We all know our people, their, the spending habits and all the different things. There has to be a group of us, a small group of us who have to say, I'm going to be responsible and I'm going to be accountable. And then that group has to work together to create this system, right? I would love to be able to create the whole thing. That is my dream. That is my wish before I pass on. To leave a legacy where it's a whole fleshed out system and, you know, we can just sit back and look at it. But that may not happen. Because what we're trying to do is an enormous undertaking, and it will take generation 2, 3. It may take 10 generations. We don't know, but we need to start planting the seeds now. We need to start thinking about leaving a legacy. And so we have these calls every week to appeal to all the men and women who come in, and we have thousands of men and women since this organization has started, and we invite them to join us to become members of our organization and help us build this system. Some people come and they're not really clear about what Black Wallet Matter means. They, you know, so they'll see one of our videos or ads or posts or something like that on Facebook, and then come into, you know, visit the website. They'll go through the survey and then, you know, make up their own determination or their own idea about what the organization is about. And, you know, I have these really strained conversations with people because I'm listening to them out of respect. But then when I have to correct them and like, no, you know, we're not saying that we're here to give you money for your business. We're not here to build businesses to enrich your family. They get a little turned off by that. And so that was the intention of what Black Wallets Matter was created. What Black Wallets Matter means is that it's through the proper management of our black wallets, we will be able to leave a legacy. We will be able to create this system, and we will be able to leave this legacy. The reason we need to build a system is because the oppression and the injustice that we face is systematic. You can't really point your fingers at, you know, where the injustice comes from. It's just inwoven into the American fabric. We all know it. It's palpable. We experience it. We experience it on a monthly, daily, weekly, whatever basis. The undertones are always there. And so what has to happen is, slowly but surely, there needs to be upward pressure that is going to liberate black folks, and it is going to, and when those black folks are liberated, it's going to have to provide opportunities for those black folks. And then there has to be a cultural construct that tells these black folks, listen, you have to, for lack of a better word, behave yourself. They're watching you. It's not fair. This is not, so we say, all right, this is our country, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter if we were here first or if we built it or whatever. The people who devised the plan, they don't care. They're not going to let this country go without a fight. And what they did was they brainwashed the other people that looked like them but that didn't have enough, that didn't have the same amount of money that they had. They brainwashed the common white folks and made them feel better about us, even though they didn't have, you know, in many cases, less than what we had. And so they breeded that hate. And we have to combat that. We have to let them know that we know how you did this system, because the thing is, they fight amongst themselves, too, because this is what's going on right now in this country. They're fighting amongst themselves like crazy. They don't know which way is up. And this is the opportunity for us to say, let's get our act together. And that's what we want to do. It's not going to be all of us. It's going to be a small group of us. If you watch the blueprint, you will see we only anticipate it to be 2 or 3%. So that's 1 million black men and women of the 42, 43 million black people here in America. That's all it's going to be. But what we did, or what we tried to do, is find you wherever you are on social media and try to appeal to your desire or your need, right? Because it's inside all of us. We have that need where we're just tired of being picked on. We're tired of seeing our people in this position. And so what has to happen is there has to be a group of us that come together and say enough is enough, and then we have to build something. And the thing about building something is it takes trial and error, because if you go back and you look through our history, we've only had a few examples of success. And I am a person that believes in modeling success. People like to use Black Wall Street as an example of, you know, of us being successful economically and independently and things like that. But we've had, you know, models like that. We've had little cities and towns like that all over, you know, throughout history. What those people understood was that they needed to support one another. The backstabbing, the hating, the all of that stuff. These are probably modern characteristics, because even if you go back to like the 60s and the 70s, our brothers and sisters had more unity. So if you are a person who feel it, who feel that kinship in your heart, then you have to stand with us so that we can show an example to everyone else about what it looks like. That's one of the problems. The crack epidemic ravaged our community. Prior to the crack epidemic, we still had that brother, we had that brother and sisterly vibe. We still had that sense of unity. And that's why when, you know, they come on the calls, I address one another as brother and sister. I'm trying to restore that vibe. We need that again. You understand? We need it now to show, we need it as an example to show this new generation that's coming up. Hey, look, you know, that we had some missteps in the back and you know, in the past, but we're moving past that, and we're standing together now, and we support one another's endeavors. We support one another. We applaud one another's successes. And there has to be a system that's set up for us to cooperate and share our successes selflessly, right? So if I have a system that's working, a business that's working, or an avenue to help brothers and sisters make some money or whatever it is, the culture has to be, hey, you know what? The brother is going to share the information. Let's not tear him down. Let's not try to take everything that he has. Because that's really what keeps a lot of, you know, our successful brothers and sisters from sharing, because of the hating and because of the avarice, the greed, and that crab in a barrel mentality. So if a group of us come together from all across the country and we band together and we create this organization, we create this entity, and then we go out in our local communities and we explain to them, hey, listen, you know, there's an organization that is standing strong. There's an organization that is serving as an example. I know you've been looking for something, but you don't know where to turn. We have it right here for you. Come and join us. Come check us out. That's what we want. So, again, like I said, it takes money, because what we're trying to do is build a system, build businesses, and build these. We're trying to build these economic systems to support our social mission. That's what Black Wallets Matter is about. At where we are currently, we have a goal for 2,000 founding members. So founding members means we are inviting you to build this thing with us. It's going to take some time. We need patience. We need to find out the things that we don't know. We need to hire staff. We need people that wake up every single day, and it is their job to push our people forward. That's what we are asking you to come aboard and help us with. We're asking you to build. We're not asking you, this is not fully formed, fully fleshed out. It's more formed and more fleshed out than it was at the inception earlier this year, right? So this thing, the Black Wallets Matter, was launched in March. It was conceived last year, and it took a little while to get it up, you know, but it launched in March. But we have like 444 members. We have about 12,000 folks, you know, on our email list, and 60 some odd thousand people, you know, on our Facebook page and followers and all of this other stuff like that. So the organization has grown and people are interested, but there's something holding them back. And what I think one of the major issues is the money. But it's the money that's the thing that's going to push us forward. So what this organization does, we collect membership dues. Membership dues start at $10 for the silver level, $25 for the gold level, and $50 at the platinum level. That's what this member association is about. We provide full financial transparency about what's going on with the money. I just, matter of fact, the members, there's members on this call tonight that can attest that, you know, I just posted the financials for the past couple of months or whatever. This organization is not making money hand over fist, right? So no one's trying to run off with the money. For those of you who have spoken to me intimately, when you become a member, you speak to me and you understand exactly what it is that we're trying to do. And, you know, I'm not the type of person that, you know, that needs to be scheming and conniving, like to go through all of this, because this is way more work than the type of money we bring in. So for those of you who are at that point who's saying, yeah, well, you know, $10, $25, $50, I want to know what's going on with the money. I'm not paying any money. That's essentially what it is. And it's a small amount of money to try to contribute to something bigger. Even, right, so like I said, so we have a goal for 2,000 founding members. This organization is moving ahead with the membership that we currently have. We are not waiting. We need the 2,000 founding members so that we can create a bigger business or one of our first initiatives. But the active, the dedicated members that we have, they are not waiting. They're saying we're going to use the people that we have and we're going to get it done. And it doesn't matter if it's two and three and four of us meeting together at a restaurant in our town, in our city. We're going to get together and we're going to figure out how we can make change, because that's how it happens. Nothing really goes from like 0 to 1,000 without going 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And that's what we're doing. So, you know, I usually have like this whole long thing that I'll go into, but I don't want to do that. I just want to let you know this organization, it is not about helping individuals get independently rich. Hopefully you are someone who is doing all right already. You're not going to have to be rich, but you have to care about what's going on in our community, and you have to want to leave a legacy, something bigger than yourself. If that's you, then we want you to join us. If you came on this call expecting something totally different, unfortunately tonight I do not have the energy to entertain that, because we're not having a call next week, and so we need to address a lot of different things. So I just want to be upfront with that. And then I think actually that's how we're going to conduct our calls. We're going to just let people know right off the bat, hey, listen, this is what the organization is about. Are you with us or are you not with us? You can be with us in spirit, but it would be great if you're black, if you made your black wallet matter. It would really be, that would really be helping us out. What we're going to do with the money, as I said, so we talk about these businesses. Some of the businesses that we want to get involved in when we get larger are manufacturing facilities, which we have very few. Grocery stores and some of these corner stores and things like that, which we have very few. We want to get into things that are essential to the survival of our people, essential to the survival of our community. If we are able to get into those lines of business, then the basically, so the perfect example, right? This is how the system would work, right? So I said that we need a system. If we had a corner store, a grocery store, maybe a car dealership, and whatever kind of business, and maybe like a discount store, right? If we had those kinds of stores in our local community and the patrons of that community went to those businesses, they could patronize those. Maybe we need individual proprietors or whoever actually running those businesses or whatever it is. But then that community now has a source of revenue where the profits can be used to fund that community resource center. Excuse me. Those businesses can be black owned. The business owners have the understanding that they need to contribute back to their community, and not by just giving out like turkeys or, you know, when the school. There needs to be an investment in the community that's really, really going to change things, and that would be that community resource center. We could take businesses like those and roll them out all across the country. And now when the people of that community go through the community resource center and they learn trades like plumbing and welding and electrical and, you know, driving trucks or whatever it is. Now we have men and women who have income who can in turn support these businesses in more frequently and larger amounts, which in turn creates more profit to fund the community resource center, which in turn can train more men and women who will wind up making more money, who can support the businesses, who can create more programs at the community resource center. You see what I'm saying? So it becomes a system, and no one has to talk. We don't have to be out there talking about I'm black and I'm proud and this and Trump. And we don't have to do none of that. It's the system. That's the system of America. That's what they, that's how they built this oppression into their system. We work, we pay taxes. They snatch the taxes right off the paycheck. That money goes to pay those same cops who's killing our unarmed brothers and sisters. That money, same money goes to pay those judges who sentence our men unfairly. That money goes to pay those people high up in the government who are flooding our neighborhoods with drugs and guns and all this other stuff. They built it right into the system. And we can't escape it. What are you going to do? You can't even live nowhere. I think I read something where it's like 80, 90% of all the land is owned by the government. So you're going to have to pay taxes somewhere. Right now they're trying to take the land back from those Indian people over there for the pipeline. Like they just going in there and they're strong-arming people. That's the American system. So we have to figure out a way within the system to create our own system. It doesn't have to be bad. It doesn't have to. That's the plan. That is the plan. We can take that and we can roll that plan out to every single neighborhood, every single community. Because every neighborhood, every community has a convenience store. They have a discount store. They have a gas stations. It's all of these. That's the plan, to have those kinds of businesses. The problem is we are not in those industries. So what's going to be necessary? Somebody has to jump in the industry who has enough money to learn the game. And then they have to go and then teach the game to the rest of our brothers and sisters. That's what we want to do. I don't know how to run a discount store. I don't know how to run a gas station. I don't know how to run a corner store. I mean, a corner store probably not going to be that hard to figure out, right? It's inventory control. If we're able to go in there, learn that game, now guess what? I can pass that information on to another brother, another sister. This organization can be benevolent. So now you got a brother, he wants to be an entrepreneur, but he just don't know what to do. We have a sister, she wants to be an entrepreneur, she just doesn't know what to do. She doesn't have the connections. Well, guess what? The organization can give her the connections, and now we explain in exchange for giving you this information, in exchange for giving you this connection, our supply network, you have to make this commitment or this agreement to support your community. You have to uplift your community. Most people are like, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, but we're very specific with what we want. We want a community center here. So that's one facet of how we're going to change. This is what this organization is about. So when I say we're realistically planning to change things, that's one facet. The next facet is the cultural adjustment. We need like a code of conduct. We call them like the black codes. We have something posted on our Facebook page. It's called the black codes. Maybe it needs to be a little bit more worked out or whatever. But the bottom line is we need to get those babies in there and we need to start explaining to them and teaching them black people don't kill one another. Black people help one another. Black men protect and provide for their women. Black women are strong and they're the backbone and they help their men. Like the things, all the problems that we have right now that are, what do they call it, like psychological and things that may be the effects of the Willie Lynch syndrome, we need to go in there and reverse those things. But we're not going to do that with adults because we're already set in our ways. We're already jaded. We've seen the world. We've been hurt. But those babies are innocent. And if we teach those babies, and then keep them corralled around other babies who believe the same thing and who act the same way, then they won't be jaded. That will be their reality. Their reality will be, their reality and their example will be of black men and women working together, cooperating, just like how it used to be in the 50s, the 40s, 50s, 60s, and that, you know, in the past. That will be what it will be. Right? So that's just going to have to be a sunk cost. That's just an investment that we have to make. The return on that type of investment, it will be intangible. It's priceless, but there's not a dollar amount associated with that. But that's something that needs to be done, and it needs to be funded. And the only way that can be funded is through business. And the last leg, like I mentioned earlier with the political protection, right, and the legal representation, we do not play politics the right way. We're not spending money on lawyers. We're not spending money on lobbyists. It doesn't matter how we feel about it, whether it's right or wrong or whatever it is. That is the way that the game in America is played. That is the way that people are getting the things that they want done. And really really the entity that's getting things done in America, and it's always been throughout history, it's business. Every now and then, you know, you'll come on a call, you'll hear me talk about Citizens United, the Koch brothers. They implemented this thing, right? They had the backing of all these other different companies and corporations. Essentially what they did was use laws that were put on the book for us, 14th Amendment, and use it to have businesses being recognized as individuals, as people, so that they could contribute unlimited amounts of money to whichever political candidate they want. What the Koch brothers do, the Koch brothers play all sides of the field. They put money into the Democrats, the Republicans, the Independents. They put money into Martians. They put money into everything. They do it on a federal, at the national level, at the local level. Like, these guys are not playing. And what they and they have these big parties, these big gatherings where they invite all these business luminaries and all this other stuff, and they tell them, listen, it doesn't matter if we're in competition in the business world. We know that we're the elite. We're the 1-2%, we're the 1%, and we have to stay that way. And so the way that we do this is we have this democratic game. We have this democracy game where everyone thinks they have a fair share of votes. And what we have to do is we have to sway the votes. That's what they do. That's what lobbying is about. And we don't play those games. It's like we don't understand it. And we see it every year. We hear it in the news all the time. Oh, this person did such and such, and they had the you know, this lobbyist, the tech lobbyist. They're going over there, and now next thing you know, they're charging us for freaking internet per minute. And we're like, how is that possible? And then meanwhile, Google and Facebook and Microsoft and Apple and everybody else was all in cahoots. And we're like, when did this happen? It happened right under our noses. That's what we need to do. We need to insulate ourselves. And we need to be able to protect those children that we change this world for, that we change our community for. So, again, like I said to you, that's what Black Wallets Matter is about in a nutshell. We are asking you, if you are not yet a member, but it seems like everybody on this call, mostly everyone is a member. If you are not a member on the call, then you are in the minority tonight, and it would be great for you to join us, because we are asking you to become a founding member and help us build this beautiful thing. That's what we're about. If you have any questions about this organization, then I'm going to put the call in Q&A mode, and you can press *6 on your phone. But again, like I said, the memberships start It's $10. It's a month. It's monthly. So it comes out as $10 a month, or $25 a month, or $50 a month. Okay, so let me put it in Q&A mode. And you can press star 6 if you have any questions. Yes, Brother Leon. Hello? Brother Leon.
Can you hear me? I was on mute. I'm here.
Yeah, I can hear you, brother.
Yeah, brother.
Yeah,
brother, what I was going to ask you about is one call I was on recently, you had mentioned the idea of in set up the communities where we're going to have like a storefront and basically have the where people are dealing with used products, that type of thing. Would you be able to kind of expound that a little bit? Just as you open up the different outlets. Because that idea, when I heard you say it, it's something that really would grow fast, because that would create, you know, jobs, basic jobs, but it would create a movement, okay? And if you could expound that a little bit.
Okay, so it's essentially what it is, that's in conjunction with our nonprofit, Wheelchairs Against Guns, right? So because you can't go around asking for donations and things like that unless you're a nonprofit. So we have a nonprofit. It's called Wheelchairs Against Guns, and essentially what happens is those brothers are in wheelchairs, so they can't really do any labor. So our organization would be able to do the labor and, you know, setting up the thrift stores and things like that. And so, you know, we've been talking behind the scenes every day. We're really excited about that idea because, yes, it can grow. It can grow really big, really fast, but it's just a matter of managing, you know, some of the operations, and then also finding out how it would really work for people all across the country to get like their tax deduction. Right, so we're just looking into how that would actually, how that would actually work.
Okay.
But of course there is initial investment, right? So we've been studying some of those operations, and you see those clothing bins, like, you know, they're everywhere. So the bins cost, you know, anywhere from like $1,500 to like, you know, $1,000, $2,000 or whatever. They have smaller ones. So if we were to go and try to, you know, get some of those, that's an investment that's needed up front. Then, of course, you're going to need to hire the guys to go around doing the collecting. You're going to need a truck to do that. And then you're going to have to deal with the sifting and the sorting of the products. And then you're going to have to obviously have the overhead with the thrift store. And then you have to find a way to, you know, dispose of anything that isn't usable. So it's a good idea, and it is going to be labor intensive, but it also is going to be a little bit capital intensive. So
okay, that's good. I'm like, say it's something that can be done as we grow. That's something to have on the table. I like that.
Yeah, I said, now when I tell you like we're working on, like, I mean, we like our conversations, the vast majority of conversations. So the brother who's the director of Wheelchairs Against Guns, his name is Brother Kareem, and him and I, we've been speaking about this at length. I've been talking to anyone, asking them anything, trying to piece together, you know, how that all works, because they're really tight-lipped with how that whole operations work, how all those operations work. But, you know, we're trying to figure out a way that we can use that to the benefit of our people. And I mean, the bottom line is, I mean, we all have stuff in our house that we want to try to get rid of. I'm over here, got a bunch of stuff out right now, trying to clean it up and get it organized and sorted. So, yeah, that's, you know, we have that opportunity.
That's a great opportunity. Yes, sir.
Yes, it is. All right, thank you, brother. Hold on for a second here. I see you, Sister LaShawn. Just give me a minute. Caller from 205 area code. Your first name, please. Caller from 205. Your first name, please. 205 area code.
Derek.
What? I'm sorry, brother.
Derek.
Derek. Okay, brother. Hold on. All right, brother. And go ahead.
For those of us considering joining, where do you see Black Wallace Matter this time next year, November 2018?
Your phone is breaking up real bad, brother. I can't hear you.
What about now? I just tested my volume.
Okay, yeah, there you go. Yep.
All right, this time next year, if we join Black Wallace Matter tonight, this time, let's say November 2018, what can we say will be our list of accomplishments in this year?
That's a good question. The thing that this brother just brought up, this, you know, our ability to go around and start our junk removal and things like that type of business, and these ambassadorship programs, they will be up and running by next year, because the ball is already rolling on those. That's an excellent question, brother. The ball will be rolling on those two bitches, and like the brother alluded to, that could be big, because what we're trying to do is use that model to support the ambassadorship programs. So if you're not familiar with the ambassadorship programs, or where people are starting local chapters in their communities, and then what they're going to need is they're going to need a way to support themselves. That's every chapter is going to need. So I don't care if it's just flyers that they need to keep printing out. Them flyers have to come from somewhere. If they need to have a meeting place so that they can have their local town hall meetings or whatever, the overhead is going to have to be paid for some way, somehow. And so we're trying, you know, that model can work hand in hand with our ambassadorship program. And that has become one of the major priorities that we have right now.
It seems like this is like something like what the Black Panthers were doing, like in the maybe late 60s. And there were organizations, Black Panther sister organizations, in I think over 20 some odd cities, and I can easily see, you know, Black Wallace Matter having that kind of reach. My only question is, and speaking in regional terms, will that be a unified message or a unified effort from Black Wallace Matter, or is this going to be something that the leaders from the particular regions bring to the table and say, hey, this is something that's going on in our area, this is how we can fix it? Or is it just going to be one thing for everybody in every city?
No, all right. So there are guidelines. That we have for the ambassadorship program. But what happens is the guidelines basically direct the chapter towards, like, revenue-generating activities. Right, because the bottom line, like, no matter what you're trying to do, there it's going to require some type of investment. It's going to require something. But most of the people who've identified problems in their community have identified, like, employment. And then the reason why we're thinking about starting like that is because if you go in your community and you say, okay, we're going to start improving things around here, the thing that most people will say that they need in their community is jobs. And if you're going in there and you're providing jobs, and then you know, and the jobs as a byproduct of hiring people, you're conducting business, which as a byproduct provides funding for your chapter, which as a byproduct allows you to hire more people, then that becomes a virtuous cycle that has so many different benefits. So, you know, that's one of the things that most people have expressed, you know, as a priority for their local area.
That sounds good, bro, man. That sounds real good. I'm excited.
All right, cool. Excellent, brother. Well, we hope you come aboard if you're not already a member.
Yeah, I'm not yet. We're just trying to – we have a particular problem here in Tuscaloosa, and I'm just trying to see all the different ways I can attack it. I just saw a study that came on, and it was funny. They put up a graphic, and it was talking about the new Black Wall Street, but instead of one city, it was an entire region. It was like the eastern southern region, and all of that stuff is like in high development with high Black ownership, entrepreneurship, and we're like right in the middle of it. So when I see, I constantly get these notifications from you, and I want to. I had to get on the call tonight because I want to be able to speak with people in some different places, because there may be some problems that we have in Tuscaloosa that are a cakewalk for you, say, on the East Coast or on the West Coast or wherever your people are. I mean, we really need help, brother.
We got a brother in Tuscaloosa, and he's looking for additional members, or he's looking for another ambassador. So there's a sister, there's a brother. And if you come on board, then you would be the third person, because and that's funny. Tuscaloosa, see, that's one of the things. One of the places that I was talking about earlier was like, that wasn't on my radar, but you guys obviously have a problem. Something needs to be done. And I think there was another brother who was talking about it too, saying that there was some factory jobs available a few weeks back. So, yeah. All right, brother. Peace. Sister Shauna. Hello?
Okay. My question is, does Black wallets matter? Are we interested or possibly joining other Black networks like the Black Business School? There's a couple other people out there that started their own organizations as far as empowering Black youth. And real estate, finance, and just creating your own businesses. I see there's a lot of different things out there, and social media and YouTube and things of this nature makes it easier for us to access these things. But I feel like instead of repeating the past, as far as starting these organizations and then having a face on the organization, putting a target on somebody's back, have a system in place that's interconnected, where it's just not one person, but it's global, it's worldwide, it's national, and there's not just one way to infiltrate it.
That's exactly what we are. That's the reason why we're saying the founding members, and that's exactly what we are. That's the reason why we have the ambassadorship with the individual chapters. There would be a board, but it's for the purpose of implementing a system. It's always for implementing the system. We have absolutely no problem working with other organizations if they would be open or receptive to working with us. But one of the challenges that we're finding is that a lot of people are, when they have their organizations, there's a lot of ego that comes in with our, with our folks, right? So, I'm not going to shy away from that. So I don't have a problem reaching out to, people when they have something else going on. But what happens is they're like, well, what is your organization at? What are you guys doing? And blah, blah, blah. And then if it's something that isn't set up similar to what they're trying to do, then there's a little problem. And then the other thing that I'm noticing, and I don't know every organization that's out there, so let me just say that, right? But most of them are for the purposes of self-enrichment. The person who is running the organization or whatever it is, they're usually looking at it like, what's in it for me? How can I become more famous, more popular. Like right now, there's a big thing going on with being like on YouTube or being on Facebook Live and trying to be like the face of a movement. Everyone's trying to like emulate like Umar Johnson and Dr. Boyce Watkins and some of these other people. They want to become like these conscious celebrities, and that's like the hustle right now. When I see that's what people are doing, I kind of shy away from that, which is one of the reasons why you don't see my face plastered all over everything that we got, because that's not the point. This is not why I go out and start putting out literature, Brother Lou said or whatever. I say us, because once the system is set, because I really want something that works. And I know that whenever there's a head that can be targeted, mm-hmm. right, history has shown us that those types of structures, those types of organizations don't work. And when I share that with people who have like their own organizations, we get into arguments. One of the other things too, right? So like I said, we're focused on the revenue generating activities, because the bottom line is it takes money. I mean, I get it. You got people who think that you can run a movement or do whatever it is, and I don't know if they're going to just do it solely off of donations. I don't know how they plan on doing it, but that's what they want to do. And it's not my place to tell them how to run their thing. I just know what we need to be focused on. Because the system that's keeping us oppressed is a business system.
Absolutely.
Slavery was a business proposition, and all of these.
Oh, absolutely, and you know what? That was the construct that eludes everybody. Everybody thinks that slavery was like a moral, a morality issue. It was not. It was a financial issue. So my thing is to alleviate you of that burden, or even that thought process, or that worry about interconnecting with other people because of egos. I want to personally just remove that from the table, because every organization has followers, it has members, and members are the individuals that network with other people in these organizations. So it really doesn't have to be, oh, this person is the face of this organization, doesn't really like. It's based on what the followers want to do. If your whole point, your whole goal is empowerment of Black people and Black dollars, then you're going to follow wherever we say this is what we want to do. And if not, we will do it ourselves. But this is part of the system having individuals that are consciously aware of what the main goal is. And so we understand that this right here, this planting of these seeds, is going to take time, and it's also going to require sacrifice. See, when I read, the first thing I read about Black wallets, I came on, I was like, oh, cool. It wasn't a second thought about, should I do it today or tomorrow? It's do it right now. Do it right now, because once the seed is planted, I can water that garden and watch it grow. I mean, it's going to do what it's going to do. But I'm going to make sure that I'm in a position to say, hey, this is what I'm doing with all these other different things, because me, myself, I am, at first I looked at myself as a survivor, but now I'm growing older, and I'm learning that being a lifelong learner requires that I pay attention to certain things. So now I start studying institutions. And by me studying these institutions, I can replicate their systems to benefit me, because now I no longer have to infiltrate these systems. I'm already in there. So now I can take all the knowledge I've acquired and leave these systems and institutions and create my own. And that's what I want for everybody else that's conscious enough to understand what I'm saying and is aware of where we're trying to go.
I mean, you've echoed my sentiments. You belong here. I'm dead serious. And so what's happening right now, and Brother Will and I were talking about this the other day, we're having something of a purge with our membership and with our direction and things like that. We're stating it plainly that, listen, this organization is about XYZ. This is what our understanding of the problem is, right? So we have a myriad of problems, but the bottom line is that there are the specific problem is that we're not understanding the system that we're up against. We keep trying to fight with like kid gloves, and they're laughing at us like, ha 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 ha, you don't even get it. It's the economics, it's always been business. I study history, I study systems and things the same way like how you do. And I mean, you can go back just like to whenever the first man was able to figure out that he could have more than the other man, then that's when this whole system started. This is this whole thing. It's something called the vile maxim. And it's when those who have, right, those who have believe that those who do not have will try to take what they have. And so what they have to do is start implementing all of these different types of smoke screens and all these other different things to keep certain people oppressed and subjugated. It just so happens that what's going on in America right now is a clear indication. The line between the haves and the have-not is glaringly obvious right now. And I was, you know, so the members know that I was talking about the brother with the Black Friday DVD, right? The brother and I was talking. He said the problem is when white America gets, like, the sniffles, Black America gets the flu because we aren't prepared to fight off some of those problems. And I wholeheartedly agree. And I said, so you know what we have to do? We have to start modeling success. We have to start modeling the same people who have been oppressed. And we started talking about the Jewish community. Then we start talking about the Asians. We start talking about all these other different ethnic groups. America is a racist place. There is a derogatory term for every person or every immigrant that has come here. Even Italians, Polish, whatever you, there's an American derogatory term for all these people. Nobody has used it as, no one has allowed that to be an excuse for why they cannot succeed. And then as Brother Will and I were discussing last night, there was a point in time when we didn't either. So a lot of people, right, we like to cling on to the, I mean, I just got to be plain. We like to cling to the victimhood. We like to say, oh, but this and oh, but that. There's no excuse for us to even use those things because the people back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, they were closer to slavery than we were, and they were doing better than we are. They were doing better. If you go back and you watch, the brother was just talking about the Panthers. It just so happens I just finished watching like a full documentary on them, a full documentary on Marcus Garvey and all these other people, right? And really, really immerse myself in what their structures were and how they operated so I could, you know, take what worked and, you know, avoid whatever pitfalls. The thing about it that I noticed, these brothers and sisters were very articulate. They were very sharp. They were very disciplined, very organized, and they had less. They didn't have the communication tools we had. They didn't have the technology we had. They didn't have the money we had. Like, it's just crazy. But yet they were able to go ahead and create these historical things of impact. And, you know, and I say this, you know, every week on the call, it's like, okay, cool. We're sitting there and we're talking about all these people in the past who did something great, all these past generations. What are they going to say about us? Are they going to say we invented this crazy rap, whatever this weird new rap is called right now? Like, is that the only thing that we're going to have? Were they glorifying, like, the using drugs? Like, that's what's going on right now. Like, it's cool to be a freaking dope fiend right now. It's crazy right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it's like we have to do something. And it won't be, you know, this is something from my personal life that I've learned. Your reality, like what you see and what you experience, that is your reality. And it doesn't even matter if it's not somebody else's reality. So if we make the collective reality amongst our Black people be one of support, one of love, one of a high culture. We're always we're culturally rich people, and it's in us. We're always dancing and singing, and that's our genius. That's how we express ourselves. And we need to figure out a way how to corral that genius that we have and use it to further our people. And it's just, and I personally believe, I study like software systems and all of that kind of stuff. I believe it's just a matter of finding like that right thing and then like pulling a string, tugging at a thread, or knocking down a domino. We just find that one thing, and then everything else is just going to start falling in place. Because, you know, good thing about our folks is if you show them opportunity, they will innovate in ways that people will never imagine. They will. The things we can come up with are like out of this world. So all we have to do is just give it a proper foundation. So. Thank you so much, sister. I love it. Thank you so much, sister. We have okay. So let's see. We have a caller from 215-617 area code. Your first name, please.
Caller Craig. From 21.
Craig. Okay, bro. Are you a member, brother?
Not a member.
Okay. Because we got Brother Brandon, and so what we were trying to do the past few days is match people up with some of the other with some of the ambassadors in some of these other areas. Sister Amanda, I see you. Just give me a second here. Sister Carnita, hold on for a second. 317, sister, you are in Indianapolis?
Yes.
Okay, so I will put you in touch with Brother Will and Sister Tara. Okay. Let me see here. And Brother Craig, I will put you in touch with Brother Brandon. Just give me a moment. Sister Amanda. Yes.
Hi, yes. This is my first time on the call, and yeah. I'm listening to everything, and I kind of got a grasp of what the organization does, but I just wanted to just get a little more of how my membership, I understand, will help, but what other ways do members add value?
Which other ways, members or membership dues?
Well, I understand the membership dues. I'm not talking about the money, but as far as
members.
So,
right.
Yeah,
So what the members are doing now, we're talking about this ambassadorship program. So the ambassadorship program will allow members to start networking with other like-minded brothers and sisters in their local area. We have the kind of reach, we kind of have the numbers now where that can kind of work. One of the other biggest things is that we have the ability to network like crazy. So for like the past couple of weeks, Sister Shauna and I have been, you said this is your first call, so you probably didn't see the email. So Sister Shauna is helping people with business development and you know, financing and things like that with their businesses. That is through the power of networking. The other thing, like I said, so we're all the way over here. Well, I'm in New Jersey right now, but you know, I'm from New York. Sister Carnita is from Indianapolis, and Brother William is from Indianapolis. We're able to match two people who don't know each other in the same town, the same city.
Mm.
Like, so that's okay. The power of the organization. And as it grows, it just gets bigger and bigger and better. We have a bunch of people in Atlanta, and they're all scattered all over, but we can bring them together because, see, the problem is, like Sister LaShawna just was saying, you know, it's kind of like the mindset that you need to have to pull something like this off. It's not really like the common mindset. You have to be able to set aside a lot of differences. You have to keep the overall goal, you know, to just push our people forward, no matter what kind of organization you may be a part of, even religious beliefs, even political affiliation. If you're tired of seeing our people being subjugated, then you want to you should want to pull yourself up or pull us up. But the problem is, it's really hard to find those people who not only will say it but will actually do something, and that's the problem. These small membership dues, and I'll be real candid, it's like a litmus test, right? So it's like $10. That's a small barrier to entry, because what we want to do is we want to deal with people who are serious, and even that in itself is proving to be something a lot of our brothers and sisters are having a problem with. I'm not judging, because I understand we have trust issues and all these other different things. So with the purpose of the ambassadorship, is so that people can touch and reach out and see and feel someone in their local area, and then that will make them a little bit more comfortable. Or at least that's what our brother Will and I believe.
So I'm from New York, but in New Jersey. I'm in New Jersey. You say you're in New Jersey.
Yeah. But I'm in New York all the time. So you can, that's why I asked you when you said 347, because somebody sent me a email earlier and said they were from Crown Heights. And I was like, okay, cool. So I could interface with you all the time. That's where my shop is.
Well, you have a shop in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm from Brooklyn, but my mother still lives in Brooklyn, and but I live in New Jersey. And my biggest thing is, I want to be a part of the organization, but I just don't want to, be a part of something that, like you said, is really not going to do something. So, I'm all for it. Always ready to, have some action. May I ask you a question? Like, what are you like born and raised in Brooklyn? Where are you? I mean, from New York. Where are you from? Like your family and stuff.
Yeah, but this is kind of not the place for that kind of quote. You can ask me. I'm born and raised in Brooklyn. I'm born and raised. I'm from Kingsborough Project. I'm born and raised from Kingsborough mm-hmm. Project.
Oh, okay. All right. And it was the reason why I asked you that. But yeah, we could take it offline.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So that was the last question. Does anyone else have any other question or anything in regards to that, to the organization? And if not, so it's 10:19, we can open it up for open discussion, or we can just shut it down early. If anyone has something they want to bring to the floor, then they can do that. Press *6, and if not, then we will call it a night. Okay. Caller 702, your first name, please.
Candace.
I'm sorry.
Candace.
Sister Candace. Okay, sister.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a question. For say, I'm in Nevada, and I've been actually researching you guys' organization. I kind of was interested. I'm a single mother of five here in Nevada, and I actually want to know, as a black mother here in Nevada, trying to be an entrepreneur myself, we're getting business where I can get a foundation for my children. I'm just trying to figure out, like, would you guys have Black Wallet here, Matters here, where we can help our black community here as well for black single parents like myself?
What are you in Vegas?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I think we have about two members there, but they haven't expressed any interest in an ambassadorship program. They haven't.
Okay.
So I don't know when you came on a call, but so I started out at the beginning of the call explaining that what we are doing is we are asking for people to come on board as founding members, And so as a founding member, you would be helping to, you know, help to build this out. So if there's a need in your community, and you have a network, and you know, and there's things that you would be open to doing or working with us, you know, and you know, you can initiate, you can be, you know, come on board, and you can initiate that in your community.
Well, I would love to jump on board, get more information out of you guys. Like I said, I am locally in Nevada, so if you can give send the referral out where I can get a hold to them. And you can go for
they're not interested in
How will we get to open one of these programs here in Nevada?
You would, well, the first thing is, I mean, you would have to build it out, and then what we would do is reach within our network. So we have a list that that has like the places that people have expressed interest chapters, and we would add it to the list. And then what would happen is someone from Nevada would say, "Hey, well, you're saying Nevada, but Nevada is a big state, so we have
Las Vegas.
Yeah. So we would put Vegas on there, and then once we add it to the list, we're gonna get hit. Like we have like San Bernardino, California, and we have like two people. Like Tuscaloosa, right? I mean, three people. Got four people. That's like kind of blew me away. so we have Macon, Savannah. We have Baltimore, D.C., St. Louis, Raleigh, Durham area, North Carolina. We have a sister from Minnesota who's looking for people. So we put it on a list, and then that allows people to reach out, because the network is wide. And I know we have more, because I see 702. I see 702 area codes on the calls every week, so there are people there. So,
So thank you so much.
No problem, sister. Okay. Oh, well, this is 720. Caller from 720. Hello?
Brother Lotus Adolph, how you doing, bro?
Peace, brother. All right, yeah, and that's Denver, right?
That's Denver, yes, sir.
All right, cool. All right, yes, see, and so we even have Denver, Colorado. That kind of like blew my mind. So, yeah. So I think we can wrap this up. If anyone doesn't have any other questions, you know, we can wrap this call up early tonight. There will not be a call next week for those who observe the holidays. And if anyone has something, anything they want to add in summary or whatever, just, you know, press *6. If anyone is interested in, if they're interested in business development or anything, we have Sister Shauna on the line. I didn't even see you there. How you doing, sister? Hold on, Sister Shauna. Are you available? Are you on the line, sister?
I'm still on the line.
All right, so you want to share a little bit about what you can do, or you know, how you can help folks if they're looking to grow their business or whatever?
All right, so in partnership with Black Wallets Matter, what I do for a living is help people develop, get funding, and investment opportunities in business. So trying to sum it up, you know, expanding in business includes buying businesses, investing in businesses, attempting to help another brother and sister by being an investor or being a guarantor for another business. A lot of ways that you can make, other revenue. My mind is getting late. I'm so sorry, Brother Lou. I'm like fading in and out over here. But that is what I do for a living, is help businesses through investments, through lending, through financing, financial management. So my development approach in business is with a strong finance background, through a strong finance base. I'm an accountant by trade, so my approach to development is a little bit different. It's not a marketing base. It is a strong finance and financing base. So I try to help Brother Lou reach out to other brothers and sisters that are ready to do something different with their business or do something different from what they've already started with themselves and just don't quite know where to go. And so I put the emphasis on ready. So ready is really, really, really important. So that's it. That's
okay, what does ready mean?
Well, I have a, and I'm gonna be blunt with it, and I know you don't like it, Brother Lou, but I'm gonna do it because I don't know how to be anybody else.
No, I love it. Go ahead.
All right, so I have a motto when it comes to business. Either you have the credit, or you have the money. If you don't have the money, then you have to have the credit. So preparedness means either you have the money to get the credit or you have the credit to get the money. And so when you come to me, you need to have one or the other. And if you don't have one or the other, there's not much I can do for you. You have to have a willingness to invest in you. There's not much you're going to get out of investing nothing. If you want an extraordinary business, you're going to have to take an extraordinary approach to it. You're going to have an extraordinary readiness, an extraordinary fortitude. So, you know, that's just the motto. That's really the only way I can help you. The only way I can help you is if you're ready, and you're only ready in either one of those ways. Either you have the money. And having the money just means the willingness to invest the money. If you have a job, then you have a payday by payday that you can invest in getting what you need. But if you don't have the money yet, then you have to invest in the credit, right? You don't have the credit, then you have to have the money to invest in it. So without being redundant, that's pretty much it.
Okay, excellent. So if anyone is ready and to grow their business, take it to the next level, invest in their business, or whatever it is, then through our network, we have Sister Shauna's services, and it can, you know, you can grow your personal wealth, right? So this is, so like she said, in conjunction with Black Wallets Matter, and the sister asked me, you know, earlier, you know, what are some of the things that members can do. This networking ability has been really promising, and the sister is helping some folks get their hands on some really good money, right? So we're not talking like small money here either. We're talking really nice figures. So
right.
If anyone is interested, then, you know, just shoot me the email, reply to the email that you have, and I will forward the link for you to set up an appointment with the sister.
All right, okay. And I just want to add real quick, because I know how people's minds think. My company and my organization fully is invested in Black Wallets Matter. So that's why I said in conjunction with. So whatever I do in my business, I make sure that it's reciprocated. I make sure Black Wallets Matter is able to move a little bit further because it was able to make or have my business move a little bit further. So, you know, it's not like he's giving me referrals and we're just, you know, taking money and going about our business. No, I am fully invested in Black Wallets Matter. And so whatever, all of the fruits of my labor, a portion of that is most definitely given back to this organization.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yes, and she's not playing. She's that serious about that. So, so we are going to conclude this call today. And like I said, we're not going to have another one. We're not going to have one next week, so it'll be the week after. For all of the members who were interested in receiving the DVD that we spoke about, the Black Friday 2 DVD, if you have not yet given me your address, then please give me your address, so that I can get it to the brother. And we're going to end that.
Good night.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Peace and love, brother. Have a good night, bro.
Peace.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.